Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome you out for another wonderful show, a show that's for you and about you. Those of you that work so hard for your money, and you want your money to start working hard for you now. You want that freedom, that prosperity, that cash flow today. So you work because you want to, not because you have to, because you want to live that life of freedom, that life of joy, and not just a life of luxury necessarily, right? But you want to have comfort for yourself. But more importantly, you want to create a ripple effect as a rippler through the lives of those around you, through your family, creating a legacy that lasts well beyond you, not a legacy of scarcity and lack, but a legacy of abundance and prosperity. And it leaks out to your community and the country and across the world. And how amazing would it be if all of us would prosper this way? So I'm excited to have you guys on here today because, again, this show is done amazing things thanks to you guys. You guys have been binging on this show. You've been sharing it. You've been applying the things we talk about, which I appreciate so much. So again, thank you so much for following us and being a part of this movement. As a reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. You know, you can get the ebook Beyond Rice and Beans. You can download there to find more resource, more cash. And also too, you know, if you've got questions for me, shoot me an email through there. So anyways, check it out, guys. Hey, are you looking for another great podcast to listen to? One about investing and not only just investing, but learning about cool deals like investing in apartments that does not require you to have to be an accredited investor or have $1 million. Hey, if you want to check that out, go check out my friend Lane Kawaoka's site, simplepassivecashflow.com. He's got a great podcast also called Simple Passive Cashflow that you can check out on YouTube, iTunes, or whatever your favorite podcast app is. If you want some great education and to learn about great ways to invest in other types of deals without, again, needing a ton of money, check it out, simplepassivecashflow.com, or look up Simple Passive Cashflow on YouTube or your podcast app. Check it out. All right, today, so I've got a special guest here, Ola Dantas. Now, I actually first met Ola because I was on his show. He's actually got the Dwellin show that he's got going on as well. That's really cool. And we'll talk about that in a little bit too. But the thing is, like, this guy is so impressive, right? Because, you know, some of us have been born and raised in this U.S. United States for our whole lives, you know? And I meet a lot of people that feel like they don't have opportunity, or they feel like they don't, you know, they hope and pray that something will come along that'll work. And I tell you, like, Ola gets rid of all of those excuses, right? And so that's why I'm excited to bring him on. Now, a little bit about Ola here. Like, as I mentioned, like, he has the show, of course, but he's also the founder and CEO of Dwellin.com. He's also a multifamily investment syndicate. He has a multifamily investment syndication firm. Let's try to say that 10 times fast, right? He successfully sourced deals of over $40 million by working closely with sellers and with other apartment syndicators across the country. Now, although he's only lived in the U.S. for about 6 or 7 years, he has successfully completed rehab projects in the excess of $1 million. Now, also, I mean, not only has he exceeded his investors' returns, right, but he also has this great success in the multifamily space. In fact, he just closed on a 160-unit apartment deal in Houston, Texas, and another 104-unit deal in another place in Texas as well. And again, he does huge value adds across the country, mostly in strong metro areas across the U.S. Now, he loves working with new investors both here and abroad, even those that are international, which is kind of where Ola's background comes from as well. Now, one cool thing, too, is that his firm also aims to give back. So they have what's called a one-house pledge, where by every Christmas, they donate a house to a family for Christmas. So starting in Baltimore, for example. So in fact, he just did a recent trip to the Philippines and Bali. He's visited the slums and now working on a local initiative to help people in need. So huge guy, like, big heart. Welcome to our show, Ola. How you doing?
Doing fantastic, Chris. I really wish I had just put that on full blast, called my wife in here so she can hear that introduction. Thank you so much.
I totally get it. People will introduce me way better than my wife will. You know, it's awesome. That's how you keep it real. So tell us, like, you know, again, where'd you come from and why'd you come to the U.S.?
Yeah, obviously you got a fantastic podcast. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate you for bringing me on. I'm gonna try to be as short or sweet as I can be. So I was born in a place called Nigeria. Many people probably know that country for several interesting reasons, but we're not gonna go into that. But I actually grew up in London. That's probably where my interesting also, I'll call it hybrid accent, comes from, and it's still coming from now that I live in the US. So obviously grew up in the UK where, you know, got my degree there, my master's degree there. Shortly after that, went back home to Nigeria, set up a firm, doing pretty okay. But my wife, who is Filipino, she was born in the Philippines, but also American, because she was born on a military base in America because her dad served in the military. So she's like, she was working in the US, even though we both went to school in the UK. And she's like, hey, you should come, check Disney out, because she was interning at Disney. This was years ago now. And so, I jumped on the plane. I was about to touch down in Florida. I was just looking. I'm a window seat guy. So I was looking out Florida, and it's just beautiful. The aerial view. I mean, you can see all this, the suburbia America, the cul-de-sacs on, it was just, I was like, this place is gorgeous. Why didn't anybody tell me about this place? Obviously got to Florida, got to Disneyland. It was a happy place. Amazing. Fantastic. Anyway, fast forward, my wife and I moved to the US, I think 2-3 years later, after that very first trip, to try the American dream. And here we are, the American dream. We're loving it. We had a nice fancy apartment. We didn't move to Florida, as you would, you'd assume we did. We actually chose Baltimore, Maryland. It was actually Columbia, Maryland we started in. So when, in Maryland, we had great jobs. We had a fancy apartment. At the time, I didn't know anything about real estate. And then a friend of mine called me and said, hey, Ola, do you want to, fly and meet me in Dubai? I need you to help me with my business. Mm-hmm. So come to Dubai. I was like, oh, okay. So I did what, a smart man does, a wise man. I prayed about it, obviously, and I asked my wife, like, hey, my friend who's got this real estate business wants me to come and help him with his business, but he wants me to meet him in Dubai. She's like, well, have you guys heard of, this was years ago, this is all pre-COVID, just want to put that out, this was years ago. Yeah. So she's like, have you guys heard of Zoom, Skype or whatever? I was like, well, maybe if I go on this trip, maybe I'll learn something, really good and cool. I mean, I can use it, we can use it. The reason I'm, having this anecdotal account is people can really get a context, right? It's not like this guy just fell out of the sky. Who does he think he is? I think America is the greatest place on the planet. I really do think that, and I'll come back to that later. Anyway, the reason I'm telling this story is success never comes to you as a golden box with a ribbon on it. Mm-hmm. It could come as a phone call. So be opened, right? Be receptive to things that might seem outlandish or out of the box. But that could be the beginning of your success. So that's why I'm bringing up this story. Anyway, I was on my way to Dubai, met with my friend in a just standard hotel. I was wearing like in the desert, quad biking, none of that. It was just 3 days, with my friend and his business, which was real estate, back home in the UK. So I was like, oh my goodness, if he's doing this in the UK, certainly I can do this in the US. By the way, I didn't mention this. I was living the American dream, go to work, come home, go to work, traffic, come home, go to work. It was just like, oh my God, is this it? I'm just going to do this and die. So I was kind of having
that dream we all have, right? We all hope to get stuck in traffic and work all day.
I was like, there's got to be something else. I mean, this is great. We had great jobs, but it was just, so I was like, I think this is what I've been looking for, right? Great entrepreneur excitement. Got back to the US, really just went hard on, I didn't know anything about real estate. So I just asked my best friend, Google. and I started learning, a website kept on coming up, Bigger Pockets. So went to that website, heard the podcast, this book kept coming up, reached out, poor dad. So I'm talking about pattern recognition here, right? Mm-hmm. So every guest was saying, read this book. So I read the book. And literally what happened to me was an uppercut in my brain. Like, oh my goodness, whoever this guy is, stole my idea. Whatever this guy is saying is what I've been trying to say to myself. You know, it's just that eureka moment, right? And anyway, fast forward, bought our first building, our first piece of real estate. And by the way, we were just in the US, probably by then, maybe 2-3 years or so. But our first building, it was a duplex in Baltimore, Maryland, in the Class A area of Baltimore, because when folks hear Baltimore, you know, anyway, whatever. And, you know, we did that, right? This was 3-4 months probably after my trip back. And, you know, my wife and I were having, we were at home one night, you know, kind of doing what lovers do. Cooking. and we're having a conversation. And I was like, hey, like my account just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing. And she's like, me too, actually. So we think about like, hey, what did we do different? We bought real estate and we had tenants in the top floor paying for most of our mortgage. So now we have a new problem, which is just money accumulating.
Now what?
And I, now what, right? And I say this because there might be folks out there thinking, well, I don't know what to do. I go to work, all my money's gone. I don't know where it goes. I can't account for it. But you could house hack, right? Which is what we did. You could buy a piece of property. It doesn't matter where you are in the United States. You know, it could be two doors or three or four. So a duplex, a triplex, or a fourplex. You live in one and you rent the others, right? So that, if you're thinking, I don't have money, I don't know where to start, you could start there. Now, just to throw that in there, if you have kids and you have got wives and you, you know, it might be a little bit tricky because my wife and I did this when it was just me and her. We could live in a one bedroom. We didn't care about parking, you know, even though you can never find parking in the city. But you, those are the things that we sacrificed in the beginning, right? So that's how I got into the game and I realized we're making all this money. I was like, whoa, maybe we can do this. If we did this 10 times more, we wouldn't have to go to any, we'll be bored. Like, we wouldn't have to go to a job, right? So that's what started. That was, you know, the impetus for Dwelling, our company, dwelling.com. And I found a mentor who kind of, who, you know, he was buying apartments. I was like, oh, that's really what I want to do. I mean, I don't have to buy 10 of these things. I could just buy a building and maybe I'll retire, right? That's not how it works. But anyway, I got a mentor and then we started Dwelling. And, you know, as they say, the rest is still history in the making, I guess.
Yeah, the rest is history, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, you know, to kind of take us back again, like what, because I know with a lot of listeners on this show, like sometimes they have a fear. I mean, one, they have a fear right now what's going on in the world, right? So they're kind of, some of them are kind of scared to get into real estate anyways. But even before this, there were still people like, yeah, but isn't it risky? What if I do it wrong? What would you say to them?
So a couple of things, right? It, you know, is it risky? I don't think so. But leaving the house every single day is risky. Stepping out of your door is risky. Living life is risky, right? So that's, let's have that at the back of our mind as I continue. I don't think it's risky because that's my opinion. I'm just one out of 7 billion people on this planet. But another way to mitigate risk is knowledge, right? So try to go learn. You know, it's like if I talked to a friend of mine who maybe is a developer, right? I mean, like programmer, right? In IT, he's not going to know anything about real estate because he doesn't have the knowledge, right? So if you're speaking to people who don't know about real estate, yes, the natural thing, they're not bad people. They're just saying, oh, is it not risky? It's just a, I don't know, is it not risky? It's not a, you know, they're not technical people. So for you to be able to mitigate those risks is you need to understand and educate yourself about the subject matter. It doesn't matter if it's real estate or if you want to start buying stocks or whatever. So I think that's what I did. I may have skipped that in my story, but when I got back, I divulged and just binged podcasts, you know, about really, I read a lot of books. You know, I have a big library of books and I continue to read. And that's why I said Google my best friend, right? So because that's what I do. So when you do that, that would help you to mitigate that risk.
What was one book that you really enjoyed, like what really helped you a lot?
So at that time it was definitely Rich Dad Poor Dad that got me started. It's not much of a real estate book as such. People think it is.
How to. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's more life philosophy. But another book that really helped me was this book, right? So this is like free knowledge, investing in duplexes and traffic on cords. It's by a guy called Larry Loftus. Well, you still see it's like at arm's length to me, right? Uh-huh. You know, I've always got a book around. I've got another book I'm reading right here. The reason I'm doing this is, you know, people say stuff like, is it risky or can I do this? There are things that you can do to get successful.
Yes.
One thing is this. You have to be a reader. And I'm going to throw something COVID-19 related, you know. Mm-hmm. Bill Gates knew that we could have a pandemic that we're having today. Now, people might say, how did this guy know? Because he's a reader, right? Oh. Of course, there's, you know, crazy conspiracy theories out there, but just put that aside. The way Bill Gates could predict this is because he read.
Yeah.
He just reads. So if you're out there, you can hear the sound of my voice and you want to be exceptional and excellent in anything you do, be a reader, but more importantly, be a divergent reader. Don't just read one topic. Be broad as much as you can.
Interesting. I love that. And I love what you're saying about risk too, because there's lots of different types of risk, right? There's market risk, like a lot of people worry about, but you mentioned about like education is key, right? Because if you want to lower risk, the best thing you can do is try to figure out how you can get risk within your control. How can you manage the risk? How can you reduce it yourself? And education is a key piece of that, right? Just like you mentioned, like these different books and things like that and podcasts, you know, not saying that we got two podcasts that you might want to listen to help with that, you know, between Ola's show and mine, right? But
yeah,
to be self-serving, of course, but it's true. Like that education is critical. Like without it, you're right. You know, because that's where I remember people would ask me all the time. They're like, well, isn't that risky? I said, for you, it probably would be. For me, not so much because I've got the education and training behind it. And that's why a lot of people will end up coming to me because they're like, okay, how do I get trained and educated to know what to do or how to do it, you know, or that sort of thing, or what to know, like what questions to ask even, right? And I'll tell you, I mean, if you think real estate is risky, I mean, if you've been investing in a 401k, an IRA, or any kind of mutual fund where you have zero control of any markets and it gets you mediocre returns with lots of high risk and volatility, trust me, you're already taking more risk than any risk that Ola or I are taking right now. You know, if you're putting money in every single month, you are essentially losing money every month, putting money into something that you won't be able to get back out without, you know, asking for permission and sometimes waiting weeks to get that money. You know, like that's what happens when you put money in mutual funds or especially IRAs and 401ks, right? You know, real estate, it's like, hey, you know, if you apply the same thing you said, well, this is how I reduce risk with my mutual funds. I just hold on to it forever. Right? Like it's okay. Cause in the long haul, it goes up. Well, guess what happens with real estate? In the long haul, it always goes up, you know, like it's no different. The only difference is that you don't have to keep putting money into it all the time.
Right. And then with mutual funds and some, kind of some of this intangible assets, one, yeah, they're not hard. You can't touch and feel them. But two, the beauty that a lot of people don't really get with real estate is leverage. If you want to buy a mutual fund for $1,000, you have to actually exchange $1,000 in cash.
So true.
You can't, you know, for that value of that mutual fund or stocks or whatever. But for real estate, if you were to buy a piece of real estate for $1,000, you only have to put down $200, 20%. Mm-hmm. Like it's genius. It's gold. So that, the power, the leverage piece, is a lot of people don't really get that. They don't really understand that.
Yeah. When I was securities licensed back in the mid 2000s, right? I remember, you know, we'd have to have people sign waivers saying, I am not borrowing money to put in the stock market, right? Like I am not borrowing money. This is not coming from a bank. You know, why are they having to sign that? Because banks won't put their own money in. Why would they want you to put their money in? Right. So, you know, where with real estate, wow, it's totally different. Real estate banks are like, oh, you want some money? Here you go. I'll pay for most of it. You know, you put your little down payment, I'll pay the rest. You know, like there's if obviously banks think it's less risky, why do you keep putting money in the place where banks won't put money, right? That's a good point.
Yep.
So let's talk about like your syndication, because you have a syndication that you have as well, where you buy into multifamily stuff. First, like Do you still see deals out there? Or are you being very cautious and holding back saying, hey, I know the deals are coming, but I'm not jumping right now. What's your viewpoint on it currently?
Yeah. So definitely transactional volume has gone down, and I don't want to get overly technical, but essentially what syndication means is, you know, pulling together, you know, a group of investors to buy an asset that you cannot buy by yourself.
Right.
Like, so if I were to go, exactly, like an apartment building, if I were to go down the street and buy a home, yeah, I probably could double myself.
Yeah.
But if you want to buy a 200 unit or 150, you definitely need, you know, a couple of partners, at least a ton of investors anyway. So that's what syndication is. So in terms of deal flow, definitely a lot of us in this, you know, syndication space are kind of taking a wait and see approach. But the fascinating thing is what we're doing at Dwelling is we're not waiting, you know, for the whole country. I mean, as we know, as you know, when we record this, you know, in May, early May now, some parts of the country are open for business, or at least partially open, and it's being phased out. But we don't want to wait for a time when the floodgates open and it's too late to get deals. So we're taking a prescient approach and kind of looking at the daily numbers of new cases, not only in the United States, but we track in Italy, Spain, the United Kingdom. So just to make sure that we're going into the market at the right time. A lot of folks are talking about, they want to see, you know, kind of 2 quarters of, you know, positive GDP growth. I think that's too late because, you know, then consumer confidence goes up and you're just back to where you were pre-COVID. So we're kind of really exactly. So we're really trying to time the market. And to be honest with you, now more than ever is when multifamily, which apartment buildings, you know, the space we're in is doing pretty well, you know, not so much from an economic perspective, but really from an asset class perspective. People have to stay in place. They have to, you know, shelter in place. You have to stay in that place. So,
Very, very true. So if people wanted to like follow you more, right, or learn more about the deals that you have and going on and stay up to speed on that, because obviously like things are changing at the speed of a tweet nowadays, you know, like Trump tweets something and all of a sudden people go crazy, you know, so, or if, you know, World Health Organization says something, or CDC, or heck, anybody, the Fed say something, the world keeps constantly changing. So if people want to follow you, Ola, and they want to, you know, be able to follow your deals or even your show, what would be the best way for them to do so?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for that, Chris. So best way is invest with Ola. So that's investwithola.com. And that would kind of take you to our website. And then also, if you want to check out the Dwelling Show, feel free to do that, you know, on iTunes, Stitcher. We're pretty much everywhere. So for those folks out there who are big Instagram, you know, folks, I'm on Instagram. I'm ubiquitous. You wouldn't be able to miss me. So just go on Instagram, Ola Dantes, or just Google Ola Dantes. I'm all over the place. LinkedIn, if you're into LinkedIn too, I'm right there.
Awesome. I love it. Well, cool. I appreciate being on today, man, because this is such good information. And it's so good to hear a perspective of someone who, one, I mean, you really kind of kill a lot of the excuses we have, right? I mean, you come to a brand new country, you know, you work the nine to nine grind almost, you know, if you include traffic, right? Or, you know, 7 to 7, you know, I mean, you've done all this stuff and then you built from the bottom up. I mean, you start with individual houses all the way to buying 100, 200 type unit apartment buildings. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, that really is. So I really appreciate you sharing your experience, and we'll put your information in the show notes so that people can have, you know, see investwithola.com as well as your show there. So again, thank you so much for your time, Ola.
Thank you, Chris. I really appreciate you.
So, hey, everybody else, like, thanks for joining us today. Again, check out Ola's stuff, you know, and remember, like, it's all, everything, almost everything starts with your brain first. Educate yourself, empower yourself, reduce the risk, and do something that actually will create great wealth now, because now is as good of an opportunity as any to create amazing wealth. And Ola is a perfect example of that. So everybody, I appreciate you guys coming on. Have a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.